KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
KJAN News is brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. And at 8:07, we have fair to partly cloudy skies, and it's 64 degrees in Atlantic. We look for partly cloudy skies today and a high of 82. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office reports a backlog of arrests and incidents from the past week. Tuesday evening, 35-year-old Pamela Louise Sowell was arrested in the area of Honey Creek following a single vehicle accident investigation. Sowell was charged with OWI third offense and issued multiple citations after her vehicle struck a barrier of a bridge. Late Tuesday morning, 20-year-old Noah Donald Groves of Council Bluffs was presented with a warrant to the Pott County Jail for criminal mischief in the fourth degree. Groves, who was being held in the jail on other charges, was then returned to the custody of corrections staff. Monday afternoon, 37-year-old Christopher Eugene Smith of Council Bluffs was arrested in Pott County for theft in the third degree after allegedly taking license plates from another vehicle and putting them on one he was driving. He was also charged with driving while license denied, suspended, canceled, or revoked. Smith was being held in the Pott County Jail on a $2,000 bond. Also arrested Monday afternoon was 47-year-old David Daniel Good for driving while barred, habitual offender. A 17-year-old male was arrested Monday afternoon for theft in the fifth degree, shoplifting, after allegedly stealing vape pens from a convenience store in Council Bluffs. Sunday night, seven juveniles, five male, two female, ranging in age from 15 to 17, were arrested and cited before being released in Council Bluffs for minor in possession. The sheriff's office said they had received a call about 15 to 20 juveniles at a residence in the 16,000 block of Crystal Lane who were drinking under the legal age. A traffic stop in Hancock on an unplated speeding Chevy Malibu Sunday night resulted in the arrest of 34-year-old Casey Jean Perkins on numerous charges. Those charges included operating a non-registered vehicle, possession of drug paraphernalia, possession of marijuana first offense, possession of meth first offense, and speeding. Sunday morning, 36-year-old Rachel Nicole Adams was arrested in Crescent following a traffic stop. She was charged with driving while barred and taken into custody on a warrant for failure to appear. Last Friday night, 43-year-old Richard Hildebrand II was arrested in Crescent for OWI first offense. You can read about those arrests and others in the same story on our news page at KJAN.com. Officials of the National Weather Service in Johnston have issued a summary of the tornadic activity that occurred across Iowa on Wednesday. According to the report, supercells developed over portions of north-central Iowa on the afternoon of Wednesday, July 14th. The environment was ripe for tornadic development, and rotation was evident on radar shortly after the storms formed. Generally, south of Highway 20 corridor was the hot spot for tornadoes from around Nemaha, Lake City, Stanhope, Jewell, and Waverly. Tornadoes were reported around Dysart and south of Mason City. Heavy rain caused flash flooding in Maxwell, and ping pong ball sized hail was reported Wednesday in Clarksville. At least 12 confirmed tornadoes in the central Iowa area. Five of the tornadoes were surveyed by National Weather Service personnel on Thursday. With the exception of the tornado that started west and south of Lake City and ended about 10 miles away near Lorville, and which rated an EF3 with winds of 136 to 145 miles per hour. The other four tornadoes that have been investigated were rated EF1 on the Fujita scale. There were no injuries reported, fortunately. The Weather Service says preliminarily there were 26 tornadoes across the state cumulatively as of July 16th. This makes it the most tornadoes, or third most tornadoes, in a single day since records began in 1980. However, officials say the total number of tornadoes from July 14, 2021 will change as further data is analyzed in the coming days and weeks. Additional tornadoes will be rated in the coming days in coordination with emergency management, along with the use of high-resolution satellite, which will help to refine track details. Any of those results will be available from the National Weather Service in public information statements later on. Well, the Adventureland raft involved in a fatal accident 2 weeks ago had reportedly been pulled from service earlier the same day. The Des Moines Register reports it was one of several rafts that had been pulled because the bladders that kept them afloat had deflated. An accident involving that raft cost 11-year-old Michael Jaramillo his life. Records show the raft was repaired and put back into service about an hour and 45 minutes before the fatal accident. An attorney for the amusement park, Guy Cook, says Adventureland wants to get to the bottom of what happened, but the problems that took the raft out of service wouldn't explain why it capsized. Cook says, in almost 40 years of launching tens of thousands of the boats, no one had capsized before. Data from the Iowa Department of Public Health shows the number of abortions in the state increased by almost 14% last year. Iowa had experienced years of steady declines in abortions before 2019. That year, they were up by 25%. The numbers were shared with legislative staff members on Thursday by the state health department. The reversal in abortion numbers came after Iowa withdrew from a federally funded family planning program in 2017. It also comes as the legislature has passed a series of laws aimed at limiting abortions in the state. Researchers at the University of Iowa are working on a nose spray coronavirus vaccine. University of Iowa and University of Georgia recently published research in which their COVID nose spray vaccine was effective on mice. Cedar Rapids Gazette reports the findings could lead to a clinical trial on humans. A new monthly survey of bankers in rural parts of 10 plains in western states suggests continued economic growth in the region, even as non-farm jobs in most of those states remain below pre-pandemic levels. The overall Rural Main Street Economic Index dropped to 65.6 in July from June's 70.0. Any score above 50 suggests growth. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss said federal labor statistics show non-farm jobs across the region came in at 55,000 fewer jobs than before the COVID-19 pandemic began. But three states, Minnesota, Nebraska, and South Dakota, reported non-farm employment levels above pre-pandemic levels. Bankers from Colorado, Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming were surveyed. And finally in the news, Barbara Wilson took office Wednesday as the 22nd president of the University of Iowa, the third woman to hold the position. Wilson replaces Bruce Harreld, who retired after taking office in late 2015. Wilson is a communications scholar and academic administrator who previously served as the second in command of the University of Illinois system. U of I undergraduate student body president Reagan Smock said she hopes campus mental health will be a priority for Wilson.
COVID illuminated a lot of what some people were living in silence about. So I really hope that we can try to push more funding towards mental health services in general. I think especially for students of color, students of underrepresented and underserved backgrounds.
Smock said she anticipates one of Wilson's biggest challenges will be earning trust across a diverse range of constituents on campus.
There are students who will never think about who's making decisions about stuff, but those who do not feel heard in what they need and what they want. And part of that is the, like, you have constituents with different demands and different things they need, and that makes it difficult.
Wilson has spoken about her goals to expand diversity, equity, and inclusion and improve graduation rates. Reports say Wilson received a five-year contract with an annual salary of $600,000, as well as a five-year deferred compensation plan with an annual contribution of $400,000. That's a check of the news. I'm Rick Hansen reporting. KJAN News brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796.